It's cheaper to keep her. We've all heard that saying, and in business, it is no different. In today's episode, we are going to be discussing the best practices to keep your employees happily employed. Lady bosses, are you working even after putting the kids to bed but still not getting results?
Are you tired of spending money on ads that aren't getting engagement?
Do you feel burdened that you aren't fulfilling your purpose in life because you are so consumed with work?
I'm your host, Brooke Boltz. I'm an attorney and founder of Boltz Legal. I started my business and in 1 year was bringing in seven figures and am now bringing in multi-seven figures.
And I'm your co-host, Rachel Boltz, owner of Boltz Media. I've helped many businesses build their online presence and increase their revenue through digital marketing.
Want to hear how we did it?
We are here to help you achieve your goals personally, professionally, and spiritually.
So kick off your high heels, sit back, and let's ignite that passion.
We're Miss Biz, where we're putting the miss in biz.
Let's get biz done. The other day, I was talking to a friend about some of the things that we've done at Boltz Legal for our employees, and they said, "Can I come work for you?" And it was a joke, of course, but it made me think that I have learned and grown a lot over the years in finding new ways to help appreciate my staff and add to their job satisfaction. So I thought it would be a good episode to kind of share where we are and the things that we've done. Maybe that can help other people to improve upon their employee retention as well.
Yeah, employee turnover can have a major impact on the success of your organization. In fact, 1/3 of new employees quit after only about 6 months. That is a lot of people. And it costs an employer an average of 33% of an employee's yearly salary for their exit. And that's not including the time that it takes to restructure tasks or the excessive time that you're, as the business owner, maybe performing some of these tasks yourself.
At the law firm I used to work at, they would tell us that an attorney did not become profitable for the firm until they had been there for, I think it was 2 or 3 years.
Wow.
And so if 1/3 of the employees, according to that study, are leaving after 6 months, that is a huge loss of profitability because they're never making it to the point where they actually become profitable for the firm. And a study found that 75% of the reasons that people leave could be prevented. So this is where we have to constantly be looking at ourselves, and not just in our personal development, not just in the business efficiency, but looking at the satisfaction of our employees and how we can always be trying to improve their lives as well.
Absolutely. As a business owner, it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day operations, what needs to be done, timelines, deadlines that need to be met. Customer satisfaction, that's something that business owners take a huge amount of time to reflect on. But really being able to look at your employees' satisfaction is going to be something that can either make or break your business. And one of the most common reasons employees leave their job is because they feel like they're not being challenged at work.
I was surprised to read that because I've never heard that before. I've heard other reasons that were common for people to leave their jobs, but when I thought back in my own experience, there have been jobs that I've left because I was bored or I wasn't feeling like I was challenged. In fact, when I decided to go to law school, a big part of that reason was because I was working at a government job that I didn't feel like I was being challenged in the long term, and I didn't feel like I had a lot of room to move up because things were based on seniority and I was the lowest in seniority, and it just felt like it was going to be such a long time before I could ever move up, and I just really wasn't being challenged to to my fullest capability and felt like I was gonna be bored if I stayed there too long.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. We've all heard people say, oh, I was stuck in a dead-end job. That means it wasn't going anywhere. But I've also heard that people leave their jobs because they're not trained well enough, or because, you know, the pay just isn't worth the amount of work, in their opinion. So in today's episode, we're going to be discussing some different ways that you can help improve employee retention. Number one on the list is communication. So, Brooke, what do you do with your team at Bolts Legal?
Well, they say that communication is key for a marriage, and it's also key for your business relationships. When it comes to staff meetings and staff communication, something that I've implemented this year really is to start doing quarterly staff meetings. And the staff meetings are not just me presenting. They are giving everybody an opportunity to share what their recommendations are and ways that they think that we can improve. So opening up that line of communication in the staff meeting has proven to be valuable, and I recognize that when I did the individual staff meetings at the end of the year and I asked them, how could we improve? Do you have any ideas or recommendations for us? And they said, oh, I already discussed it at the staff meeting. So that was an indication to me that the staff meetings were valuable because we already had taken note of their recommendations and already started implementing processes and procedures to improve upon those things. But the individual meetings are equally important because you need to be asking your staff on a regular basis, what are your goals personally? Where do you want to be in a year, 3 years, 5 years? Because if they can see that vision of where they are and where they're going and know that you are there to support them along the way, they are much more likely to stay long-term because they feel like they are working to achieve that goal.
Absolutely. And you're going to learn a lot more about them in those individualized meetings and figure out, okay, well, what can I do to help them learn the things that they want to learn, or, you know, incorporate some of the tasks that they really do enjoy doing. One thing that I really like to do with my team is I like to take them out to dinner, something very informal, you know, and it's us just really talking about life. And I can kind of pick up from all of the senses, are they overwhelmed? You know, because a lot of times I feel like if I have those individualized meetings, or if I, you know, pick up the phone and call them, a lot of times that they tell me that they want to hear things that I want to hear, like, yes, I'll take on more work. But when I have a meeting, or not a meeting, when I have dinner with them, I can really find out what's going on in their life. They open up a lot, and then I can see, okay, well, you know, they are under a lot of stress. So maybe, you know, I shouldn't hand them over, you know, 5 new clients, you know, or maybe we should divvy up the work a little bit differently, you know, until they get through this rough period in their life. So I really enjoy the dinners, because I feel like it's more relaxed and I feel like it's more relationship building as well versus just centered around work.
You can also do anonymous surveys that you send out through Google to allow people to express their feedback on their job satisfaction. And that can give you an idea of how they really feel if you think that they're not going to be fully forthcoming in a face-to-face meeting. One of the success stories that I have from an individual meeting is one of my employees expressed to me in an individual meeting that she wanted to work to be in a managerial or supervisory position. And I didn't know that before the meeting. And so I was able to tell her in that meeting, well, here's what I look for to see that someone is ready to take on that type of role. And it really is that they're kind of doing it already. In other words, you're already a go-to person for the other staff. When they have a question, they already naturally go to you because they see you as someone who is not only knowledgeable, but open and willing to help. And so when I gave her that feedback, she really took it to heart, because before that, she was kind of a more introverted person. She had her one or two friends in the office that she tended to navigate towards. But for the general people in the firm, I don't know that everybody saw her as a go-to person back a year or two ago. But when I gave her that feedback, she really took it to heart and started making herself available to help other people. And so much so that in the next quarter, it was either the next quarter or one after that, she was voted as employee of the quarter by the employees. And the reason that they wrote on their nomination form was that she is always willing to help, that she goes and above and beyond to help me. And I was just so touched by the fact that she received that feedback, implemented it, improved upon herself, and then it was evident to all of the employees when they nominated her for that role.
Absolutely. Well, you took the time to invest in her, because not only did you hear what she wanted to do or what her future goals were, but you also took the time to help guide her so that those goals would be obtainable. And in fact, one survey found that 94% would stay at their current employer if they had invested in their long-term learning.
If you enjoy the Miss Biz podcast but still have questions or need advice, we have some exciting news for you. Join us for Miss Biz Connects. Miss Biz Connects is a weekly 1-hour Zoom call on Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is 1 hour each week dedicated to you. We want to meet you and put our brains together to help you grow personally, professionally, and spiritually.
To access the meeting link, visit us on our social media pages at Miss Biz Podcast or send us an email to missbizpod@gmail.com.
Join us this Friday and let's grow the Miss Biz Nation. Yes, long-term learning, I think, is something that we all value. That's why we read personal development books. That's why we go to conferences. That's why we go to church on Sundays, because we want to be learning new things all the time and improving. And so if your employees feel as though they are learning and growing in their positions at the company, that will add to their job satisfaction. And some ways that you can do that, and Rachel, I think, do you have an employee or a client of yours who invests in people in their long-term learning?
Yes. So I have a client that owns a med spa, and one of their injectors is always going to do different trainings. So it could be filler training or Botox training or training on different lasers or skincare routines. But that employer also has, you know, some sort of agreement to where they will continue to work for them for X amount of time, or they will have to pay back all of that training and the costs associated with that.
But that's great to give people the opportunity to continue to learn at the expense of the employer so that they can keep benefiting the company through that additional knowledge. And I've done the same thing in terms of helping people to get their paralegal certifications. I generally pay for that, not for their actual college education, but for the certification itself. I've had different people come in and give trainings to the staff that I pay for as well. And so just continuing to invest in their learning is something that people really value.
Yep. Well, you show your employees that you care about them, because there are certain things that you don't necessarily have to do, but you are doing because you want to help them be the best version of themselves. Number two on the list, so we talked about communication as number one. Number two is recognition. And when an employee does not feel valued at work, 75% will look for another job opportunity.
And I've heard before that people will work harder for a title than they will for money. What do you think about that?
You know, I tend to believe that that's true. I know when I was a teacher, I had worked with another young lady who was like, her title was a word processor. And she was really upset about that because she did so many other things other than, you know, type up memos. You know, she was paying bills. She was ordering supplies. So she fought hard to have that title that kind of encompassed everything that she already was doing.
I agree with this too. When I worked at the large law firm in the past, it was very important to me to achieve the title of partner. And for the first 5 years, that was pretty much, aside from, money was still important. I won't say that it wasn't. I was still looking forward to getting raises and bonuses each year. But very close in line with that was achieving the title of partner. I wanted very much so to reach that accomplishment, and I was very focused on it, and it meant a lot to me.
Yeah, well, when I was a teacher, all of the teachers had the same title. So there wasn't a mobility instructor, AT instructor, or what I was doing, teaching business. We were all senior rehabilitation specialists blind, which was a kind of a weird title. So I do think that some people had a problem with that, especially some of the highly specialized mobility instructors. You know, they have to go through a lot of training and a lot of certifications in order to teach blind people how to cross an intersection without getting hit. So I do think that having an inclusive job title that gives recognition to maybe all of the various roles that person is doing is something that can help improve employee retention.
So the moral of the story is look at your employees, look what their titles are, and see, especially the ones who are going above and beyond, see if you can beef that title up a little bit. It will go a long way. An example of this is I had a couple of legal assistants who were really doing more than just the title reflected. They were going above and beyond, and so I changed their title to assistant case manager. They're not fully case managers, but they were doing more than just a legal assistant would ordinarily do. So I changed their title to assistant case manager, and they were so excited for that title change. So take a look at that, and if you can beef up the title a little bit, make it sound a little more impressive, people will genuinely value that, and it doesn't cost you anything. It's just recognition.
Yep. A little bit of recognition goes a long way. Another thing that you can do as an employer, as an employer, is you can offer employee of the quarter or employee of the month. I know when I was a teacher, they had something called the Golden Ladder Award, which happened like on a quarterly basis. And basically it would be, there would be like this little poem or something that came with it. And it said, you climb the next stair up the employee ladder or something like that. And we got a little gold ladder. But Brooke, what do you do at Bold Seagull?
We do employee of the quarter. That's something that I've just started in the last maybe year and a half. And I think everybody really appreciates it. And they get a day off as a reward. And then they get a monetary bonus as well for being the employee of the quarter. So it's something that gives recognition, but also has some monetary benefit tied to it. We also do end of the year Christmas parties. So the recognition is really twofold. It's recognizing people on an individual basis when they do well. And it's also recognizing all the staff in general for the hard work that they put in every year. And so we kind of do something really special for our Christmas party. And we also do a mid-year event where we get out of the office for an afternoon and go do something fun together. So that's another way that I try to recognize and appreciate the employees. And then in addition to that, I try to send individualized messages to the staff, either on their birthday, but sometimes even more often than that. But at least if I know I'm doing it on their birthday, they're getting something from me once a year, where I tell them directly how much I appreciate them and what they do. And then when we have our end of the year meetings, I tell them again, you know, here's the things that you've done that I really value and appreciate.
Yeah, so for me, because my team is a lot smaller, whenever I send their checks for the month, I always write a little note in with their check, and I'm very specific about something that I really appreciated that they did that month, whether it was a new way of, you know, advertising AccuNova or whatever the case may be. I always make sure to be very specific so that it doesn't become lost, because I feel like the term I appreciate you, thank you, I feel like sometimes that can not necessarily get old, but maybe not have the same impact that it once did. So each and every month I write something very specific about what they did and how well they performed.
That's really going above and beyond, in my opinion. That would be a lot for me to do, but I can only imagine how much your staff appreciates that. I mean, to take that extra time to write them a note every month that's personalized and individualized, I mean, that just means the world, I'm sure, to the recipients of those. So next is money. Of course, we know that money is an important factor in keeping in retaining employees and keeping happy employees, but it's not just about their salary or their hourly wage. There are other ways to incentivize or to appreciate your staff aside from just purely their hourly wage or their salary. I read the book, and this is what really opened my eyes to this, by Dave Ramsey, that's about leadership in business. And he said that every single employee should have a bonus structure. And that was just something I had never even considered, because in the law firm world, attorneys get bonuses, but the non-attorney staff did not in the world that I had come from. So it just wasn't even something that I had considered. And when I read that book, I started thinking, well, maybe there are some ways to bonus non-attorney staff for their hard work and their efforts. And so I started implementing some bonuses, but there are certain roles that just can't really be quantified in a way to bonus. Like scheduling is an example of that. Receptionist is an example of that. It's hard to quantify what they're doing to be able to structure a bonus. And so I came up with a points-based incentive program where employees can earn these points for doing things that are above and beyond. It may be as simple as sharing one of our Bolts Legal social media posts. If they share it, they earn points. If they participate in an after-hours marketing event, if we have a golf tournament we're sponsoring, for example, if they go work at the event, they get paid for their time, but they also earn these incentive points. So they can earn these points and then cash them in for cash rewards. And it gives everybody an opportunity, regardless of what their role is, to be able to be recognized in a financial way for going above and beyond.
And I think that that's a genius way to get more people on board, to be honest with you, because you are going to have those personality types that they're a little bit more outgoing, and they're going to be a little bit more willing to participate in those after hours events. But by offering an incentive for them to do it, then, you know, you're going to get more participation that way, versus if you're just like, I'll pay you, you know, time and a half just to do this. Not only do they get time and a half, but then they also get to work towards earning these points that they can cash in, so that they can get something that maybe they have really wanted but wouldn't necessarily spend their own money on having. Christmas bonuses are another great incentive. Brooke, I know you have a good story about this.
Yeah, so my friend is a business owner, but she comes from the restaurant world. And so as a restaurant employee and manager in her past, she never earned Christmas bonuses. So now as an employer, she owns a very successful screen printing business. I said, are you paying Christmas bonuses to your employees? This is the first year she's had employees who were non-family members. And she was like, what? I never got a Christmas bonus. And I recognize that mentality that we have a lot of times is, well, I never got that. Why should I give that? And I struggle with that mentality too, in other ways. And so we had a discussion and I was like, you got to do it. You got to give a Christmas bonus. And so she talked with the other leaders in the company and they voted to do it, and they voted on an amount to give, and then she did. She gave the Christmas bonus, and I said, how did it go? And she said, the employees were over the moon, so appreciative. And I said, how did that make you feel? And she said, it made me feel so great. I wish I would have given them more. And so I share that story because it is painful to give sometimes. December for me is always a painful month to give out so many Christmas bonuses in one foul swoop. It's like doubling or even more my wages that I pay in that month. It is painful to do, but the appreciation that comes on the other side of it and the good feeling you get from helping people really is rewarding and is worthwhile. And I just think about when I was an employee living paycheck to paycheck, even as an attorney making a multi six-figure income, I still was living paycheck to paycheck because I had so much debt and so many bills that I didn't have any extra money to pay for Christmas gifts. I just didn't. And so if it wasn't for the Christmas bonus that I earned every year, that's what I relied on to be able to buy Christmas gifts for my family. And so I have that same mentality when it comes to my employees, that I don't want them to be in that position where they can't afford to buy Christmas gifts for their family.
Yeah, I think it can make a huge difference, especially if that employee is coming from a job where they didn't necessarily have that kind of treatment before. It can really leave a lasting impact and help them to have a better Christmas for their family too. Another thing that a lot of businesses will offer are benefits. So your health insurance and your matching 401k, those are great incentives. And a lot of times that can be an incentive to even get someone to apply.
Yeah, the health insurance benefits are really important to some people, especially if they have like a medication that they mm-hmm. rely on from month to month. They care very much about that. So what I found to be the industry standard in my business is that the employer pays 50% of the employee's health insurance. So I go a little bit above that. I pay 75% of the employee's health insurance. But if they have dependents, they pay 100% of that, which I think is also standard in the industry. So this is a benefit that I didn't always have when we were smaller, and we're still not a huge firm. We're about 15 to 18 people. I didn't always have that benefit, but when I added it in, I definitely know that it has been very much appreciated by the staff, particularly those who have medical needs or medications that they use on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Next on the list is work-life balance. So this is something that's very important, making sure that you are giving your employees a chance to enjoy their life outside of work. And one way that Brooke does that is by offering personal time off.
Yes. The paid time off, we do 3 weeks of paid time off per year. And that I think is within the standard, maybe even a little higher than the standard. I know of some firms that only do 1 week or some that do 2 weeks, but 3 weeks I think is a fair amount. And that is all inclusive for sick leave, vacation leave, everything.
Children
who clean up the messes,
high heels and purses,
and
and chocolate galore. Louis Vuitton is our favorite store.
I love learning, but I hate wasting time, so I love the app called Headway. Headway has all kinds of books on it, but they are in summary format. It summarizes each chapter and the key points of that chapter, so I can gain the content of a whole book in about 15 minutes. So I love Headway.